Cynthia, what brought about the decision to transfer the oral history collection to a digital format?
It really wasn't so much a decision as just an opportunity. The Kentucky Oral History Commission was connected with all the oral history programs that were done at the various universities and locations around Kentucky back beginning in the 60s. They were done initially on reel-to-reel tapes, and then later in the 80s, late 80s and 90s, were done on cassette tapes. But even the earlier ones, when they got the technology to transfer the reel-to-reels, many of those were done. But our issue, of course, was that they were just sitting there, getting older. And in 2008, the Oral History Commission began a project in Kentucky to try to get those transferred to digital. And we were actually a pilot, which is not common for us in Western Kentucky. And they took our World War I tapes with them to Frankfort. And many of them there were transferred by them, and some were sent out that were just very, very old because they were some of our oldest tapes. And then after that, they offered us the opportunity to do some of the transfers on our own. And we started paperwork to get that set up, and we received the equipment late in 2009 to begin in 2010.
So you have the opportunity. Then how did you get started?
Initially, we only got the cassette decks so that we were able to transfer some of the cassettes, but not the reel-to-reels. And then we received the full situation there. We received a reel-to-reel deck, a cassette deck, a laptop, and speakers, and were shown how to use the equipment. And then it's just a matter of time.
Here's an interview that I found interesting. It's from the 1970s with World War I veteran Buster Miller. And it's about doing kitchen duty for the military.
Did you peel potatoes?
Yeah, peel potatoes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, KP means kitchen police,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, KP.
Uh-huh. Now, what time, what was your day like when you were assigned KP duty? What time did you get up in the morning?
Oh, around about 5 o'clock.
Tapes like that are pretty old. What does it take to get them into a digital format?
A lot of time and setting those tapes, getting levels and that sort of thing set up so that they transfer properly. And some of the tapes are fantastic and some are just terribly degraded. So it's just a process. And we've been working on it steadily since then. We just received a new reel-to-reel deck because ours gave out. And rather than repair, they found another one. It's actually a much newer version, so it should hold up very well for us. And so we're continuing on with that process.
So while transferring these tapes, you must have run across something interesting. Is there anything that stood out to you in particular?
That would be a lot of things, actually. Because of the time they did the oral histories, they not only were many, many years ago, but they at that time chose older people to talk to. Many of the people they spoke with were in their 80s and 90s. So many of those people were born in the late 1800s. So the information they have is like saying goes, it's light years from what many of us are even familiar with as far as the lifestyle. And there is a series called Lifestyle where they discuss the way they live, their everyday lives, how they managed water and light and laundry and cooking, just everything. And the interesting things abound.
And here's something I found in a Lifestyles interview with Neva Gray Albritton, recorded in the 70s. She's telling the interviewer about a home remedy.
Now, Mom used to say if anybody had a sore throat, of which she would take it, you'd do lemon juice, honey, and butter cooked, of course. That made your, that stopped the cough. In other words, stopped the tickling in your throat. Hot tea. My mother loved hot tea. She thought hot tea was good for everybody for something.
Interviews like that contain some great little bits of history. Is anyone still taking on the task of interviewing the older generations to keep the Oral History Project going?
There actually was an interview last year of someone around homecoming time, a local doctor who was born and raised here and went to Murray State and wanted to talk a lot about his family, but we also pulled a lot of information about Murray and the university from him as well, because that was sort of the goal and the aim there, was to get some information about the university. So we're still, it's much less done now, but there is still interest. The history department, as far as I know, is not especially involved anymore. But they are asking us at times to consider this or that as far as checking with someone to see if they would do one.
Cynthia Barnes works for Murray State's Pogue Library, transferring the oral history collection from analog to digital recordings. Cynthia, thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much.